This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. If you had to choose between the First Amendment right of freedom of speech or your Second Amendment right to bear arms, which one would you choose? Well, a study was performed by the James Madison Institute, and they asked this question and others. So joining me to explain the results is President and CEO of the James Madison Institute, Bob McClure. Thanks for joining me, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Mason.
Before we get into the study, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I am Bob McClure, Dr. Bob McClure, President and CEO of the James Madison Institute, which is a think tank, Mason, based in the capital city in Florida, Tallahassee. Third largest state in the country. And while we're based in Florida, we focus on a whole host of national issues and what's happening in Washington, D.C. and around the country. And I've been running the James Madison Institute for about 14 years.
Now, tell me a little bit about this study.
The Institute conducted a survey because we were really interested in what, you know, given all of the issues on college campuses surrounding free speech and some of the Supreme Court cases surrounding freedom of religion and, you know, freedom of assembly and all of those kinds of things, we were very concerned and interested in knowing and surveying the American people on essentially the Bill of Rights and finding out what they knew and what they didn't know. And so that was where the kind of the kernel of the idea for this survey began, was to find out exactly what do the American people know and understand about the Bill of Rights. And so we commissioned a national survey on that.
It was only at colleges then, or did you go to, like, malls too?
Oh, no, yeah. The reference to colleges is given the kind of national discussion that's happening around on college campuses.
Oh, okay.
No, we went to we had a range of ages, millennials to Generation X to, you know, older people as well.
You got baby boomers, I hope, right?
Baby boomers. You better believe it.
So what questions were asked specifically, or it was kind of like a roundabout thing?
Sure. We asked several different ones. We asked them if they knew how many amendments were in the Bill of Rights. We asked them if they had any idea what kind of document it was. So, for example, you know, it was obviously a part of the Constitution that followed, but you know, did they know? Did they understand that? We asked them what their favorite amendment was. We asked them if they had to choose between several different amendments, what would they choose? And so we did a whole host of different things like that.
What was the
The breakdown was pretty evenly split between Democrats, Independents, and self-identified Republicans.
What was the favorite amendment? I have to know.
Well, the favorite amendment was the first, but it was interesting. While that was their favorite amendment, they could not necessarily name all of the freedoms outlined in the First Amendment. And so that was interesting. That was an interesting response. The survey we conducted also found really significant gaps in the just basic knowledge of the American people and the Bill of Rights. For example, most Americans, over 50%, didn't even know there were 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights. They didn't understand what all of the amendments were. They didn't realize that, for example, freedom of assembly is outlined in the First Amendment with freedom of speech and freedom of religion and those kinds of things. So it was a fascinating survey to sort through, but we found that their favorite amendment was the First Amendment by a large amount, roughly 80%.
Okay, so what about the right to bear arms? Nobody popped up for that one?
Well, that's interesting you would say that. When asked to choose between the First and the Second Amendment, which, and let's be clear, we at the James Madison Institute have done not this survey, but we've done a game with lots of different people called Rank Your Rights, where you essentially have to eliminate one of the rights until you get down to your favorite one. But in all honesty, what we find is the American people, once they have to do that or once they fully understand what is in the Bill of Rights, they don't want to get rid of any of them. And they realize how important all 10 are. But having said that, if they had to choose between the First or the Second Amendment, about 8 in 10 Americans would choose the First Amendment. They would keep the First Amendment over the Second Amendment if they had to keep one. And it was about, 90% of Democrats, 80% of independent voters, 70% of Republicans. So it wasn't, there was some difference in each of the party affiliation identification, but not too much, 90, 80, and 70.
I would think people would keep the right to bear arms over the freedom of speech, because if I had a gun, you're going to listen, right?
Yeah, but no, what we found is, basically 8 in 10 Americans would choose the First Amendment over the Second if they had to choose one, realizing the importance of the Second as well.
Okay, so I don't know if you knew this, but Thomas Jefferson wanted to change the Constitution every 19 to 20 years. That's something about, like, a fun fact I know, and I don't remember where I heard that from, but do you think that holds true now, or that people just want to keep it the way it is?
I think that would be an interesting question to ask, and I think somehow that would break down along party lines to a certain degree, and independents as well. Mason, there is a system amending the Constitution that we have currently, but the founders understood that we didn't want to make it easy because of the kind of whimsical nature sometimes, or the passions of politics and politicians. And so for that purpose, they didn't make it easy to do so, because, you think about, depending on, when you have one party in charge, the tendency is to kind of ram through things. This kind of sense of bipartisanship has disappeared over the last, 20, 30 years. And so the founders understood the passion of politics and made it difficult on purpose to amend the Constitution.
But don't you think it takes too long? So the laws that kind of apply to baby boomers, they don't apply to millennials. At this point, we have, the internet is such a big thing that shouldn't there be some kind of amendment based for that?
I think the Constitution was designed to be a framework. It wasn't designed to be law. It was designed actually to protect the people from an overreaching government. So if you look at law, you have things in various laws that are added on at the end that are pet projects of elected officials or pork or different things like that, whether it's the Obamacare or transportation bill or the ag bill. And so the Constitution is a framework designed to spell out what the government can and can't do. The Bill of Rights followed some years later. People don't know that, but the Bill of Rights actually came several years later because people were very concerned. It was drafted by James Madison 4 years after the Constitution itself was adopted. And so the Constitution is designed as a framework and outlines the proper role of government. What I think you're talking about are laws that oftentimes are inflamed by the passions of the day and are filled with pet projects. And so, the Constitution is a framework. The aspect of passing and signing bills into law is a slightly different tool to govern.
Now, based on your study, do you think that adults should take some kind of, I don't want to call it a course, but should be more involved in knowing how their government works? Because it seems as if from your study that, hey, these people, as adults, they don't really understand what's going on until somebody explains to them and they're like, oh, yeah,
No, I think you're exactly right. I think that the lack of teaching civics in middle or high school has become a critical gap in the education of the American people. Because if you look at the issues that we're dealing with today, whether it's a baker can bake a cake or is required to bake a cake against his or her religious views, or what are the rights of students on campus in terms of free speech, or did the people in Missouri have the right to assemble? Should we have, bump stocks and those kinds of things? Is that covered under the Second Amendment? All of those issues that the American people see wrestle with on a daily basis, the courts wrestle with on a regular basis, all of those are, you know, the American people don't fully understand the Bill of Rights. They don't fully understand the Constitution. And there's a real gap in knowledge. And it's just even more relevant today now that, you know, you have this 24-hour news cycle and you have, you know, this discussion about judges and even issues such as immigration. So it's incredibly important for us to get back to teaching and understanding civics, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And it doesn't matter if you're conservative or liberal. It is the understanding of how our government, our courts, our Congress are all supposed to govern.
I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to sit here and remember some of the rights, and I can't even remember anything because it's like I thought that the right to assemble and freedom of speech, I thought those were two separate things. So I'm like, well, that doesn't count. It's all one thing now. And I'm actually looking at some, and some of this stuff, it's written, I don't want to say it old-timey language, but it's kind of goes over my head. Is there somewhere you can go where it's a bit more, it's less complex and more like maybe even has an example of it?
The Bill of Rights Institute has a great website, the National Center for Constitutional Studies, that can shorten it. Obviously, the preamble can be a little wordy, but you have, you know, freedom of religion, speech, and the press. That's pretty simple in Amendment 1. Amendment 2, right to bear arms, is pretty basic. But there are places you can go to get simpler language and just really brief summaries of what each amendment means. And then your listeners can delve more deeply into the ones that they're interested in.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, for coming on. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you and the study?
You can find more, Mason, on our website at jamesmadison.org, just like the president, jamesmadison.org. Like I said, the James Madison Institute is based in Tallahassee, Florida, but we are a national organization that focuses on public policy and understanding the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And your listeners can learn more at jamesmadison.org.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.